From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. In the past year, Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul has frequently been in the headlines, suing the Trump administration on behalf of the people of the state of Illinois, on everything from ending birthright citizenship to immigration enforcement to attempts to withhold federal funding. And in just the past week, Raoul has sued the administration over its immigration enforcement operations in Illinois and Chicago, arguing Operation Midway Blitz has undermined our state sovereignty. Along with four other states, he also won a temporary restraining order late last week to stop the administration from freezing federal funds for child care and family services on claims without evidence of fraud. On Thursday afternoon, I spoke with Raoul about those lawsuits and opposing the Trump administration more broadly over the past 12 months. Because our program's on tape, no calls, but you can let us know what you think. Our email address, talk@21stshow.org. Attorney General Kwame Raoul, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me.
I want to start with a lawsuit against the Trump administration over how it's enforced immigration in Illinois, especially during Operation Midway Blitz. The lawsuit calls it an organized bombardment. What makes what ICE and other agencies are doing more than just immigration enforcement?
Well, one, it's targeted, right? It's targeted on the basis of politics and not as much on the basis of overall logical national plan for immigration enforcement. What I mean by that is there is immigration enforcement that can and that should take place all throughout our country. And it shouldn't be based upon emphasis on states and cities that might have leaders with whom the president or others in his administration may have problems with. But unfortunately, we've seen an emphasis both in action as well as in how the president has expressed his prioritization on targeting Democrat-led states, Democrat-led cities, states that might have a trust act or a sanctuary, cities with sanctuary city policies. Instead of just embracing the traditional approach to immigration enforcement that has enforcement and removal officers do a targeted work of targeting those that need to be targeted with acceptable tactics towards immigration enforcement. Nothing in our lawsuit says or alleges that immigration enforcement shouldn't take place. It shouldn't involve, however, just stopping arbitrarily individuals who are citizens and asking them whether or not they're a citizen. It shouldn't involve tear gassing innocent people on the streets, including Chicago police officers. It shouldn't involve targeting sensitive places like schools, courthouses, and childcare facilities and other places. It shouldn't involve violating people's constitutional rights by entering private property without warrants. It shouldn't involve concealing and switching license plates. You know, those are just some of the many examples of what are not traditional immigration tactics and what are tactics that are violative of people's rights and violative of our rights as a state to
and the administration
policy
is,
that we want to.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you. I was just saying the administration has been, you know, doing a similar action now in Minnesota, another Midwestern state, which also sued to stop the federal government there. And it was during those operations last week that an ICE agent shot and killed a woman, Renee Good, who it said was observing what ICE was doing. Her partner was, you know, sort of talking back or talking smack, however you want to say it, to the agents.
Yeah.
But you know, there was a similar case in the Chicago suburbs back in September, at least, where a man was shot and killed by a federal immigration agent. I say similar in that the official narrative sort of was at variance with what some of the videos showed. How do you think about the prospect of something like this happening in Illinois again?
Well, in both circumstances, whatever one, however one may evaluate the various videos of the Renee Good situation or the situation in Illinois, what we know is that both of those individuals should be alive today, that those occurrences would not have happened but for the tactics being utilized. That those individuals weren't individuals with criminal background, weren't individuals that, where there's any indication that they had a history of any violence towards anybody, much less law enforcement agents. And so, given that there's doubling down from the very top, Kristi Noem and others. Instead of taking a more cautious approach and saying that we're going to have a fulsome investigation and that investigation shall collaborate with local law enforcement, and we're going to look into the what could have been done in the situation to avoid this tragedy, there's a doubling down, and the situation seemingly in Minnesota is getting worse instead of settling down. There's a ongoing threat to return to Illinois with the with a surge, and so suffice to say that I am concerned. And again, I reiterate, I understand that immigration enforcement must take place, but Border Patrol agents, for one, are not trained to do immigration enforcement in the interior. That is traditionally left to enforcement and removal officers who know how to do it in a more targeted fashion. But because the administration wants to pump up their numbers and meet a quota, it's no longer the what was described at the outset of all this, that we're going to go after the worst of the worst. It's now a sort of a dragnet. We're going to go after whoever we think might be an undocumented immigrant, even though they may be a citizen. We'll detain and arrest and zip tie citizens and figure it out afterwards. And that is not an appropriate law enforcement approach. It's certainly not an appropriate civil immigration enforcement approach, and it should not be tolerated.
I've wondered how much of that really plays a role here in that these agents do not seem to have the sort of standard, training you'd get as an Illinois state trooper or any one of the, thousands of communities that have police departments in Illinois, where you learn things like don't stand in front of a vehicle, never approach a vehicle from the front, don't shoot at a moving vehicle, things like that.
No, that I think that's correct, and but it's more than that. These a lot of these agents don't have the training that immigration enforcement and removal officers have had, right? Who have done this work historically, because there's this press for numbers. There is now a wide recruitment effort. For ICE and expedited to this 47 days of training, just to match the 47th president. Not it's not targeted towards how much time we really need to make sure we train new officers to make sure that they're following appropriate procedure. It's just a fast onboarding. We have law enforcement officers from other federal agencies being redeployed into civil immigration enforcement and taken off of criminal enforcement. So it goes the opposite direction as to why the president indicated he wanted to do so in the first place to fight crime. Many have characterized our resistance and our desire to stay true to state of Illinois policy, meaning the Trust Act, as standing in the way of the federal government trying to come in and help us with crime. It's important to note that we have had and we continue to have strong relationships with federal law enforcement agencies and strong partnerships with federal law enforcement agencies towards both investigating and prosecuting crimes committed by both citizens and non-citizens. We currently have some 15 cases, I think mostly referred to us by ATF, of Tren de Aragua gang members involved in gun trafficking that our office, the Illinois Attorney General's office, is prosecuting, as well as other cases referred to us by other federal law enforcement agencies. So we maintain a strong partnership with those federal agencies. I would welcome the president's help in fighting crime in Illinois and the state of in the city of Chicago by way of strengthening those local federal law enforcement crime-fighting agencies instead of diverting away from them towards immigration enforcement, because taking those agents away detracts away from our partnership in fighting crime. So I just wanted to clarify that we have a strong partnership with federal law enforcement, and I want to continue that.
I also wanted to ask you about the federal government's attempt to freeze funding for childcare and family services to Illinois and four other states, again, all led by Democrats. I wonder what you make of that.
First off, it's heartless. The idea that the administration through the Administration for Children and Families, a component of HHS, would send a letters targeted to five states, purportedly on the basis of fear of fraud, but would isolate on these five Democrat-led states, is again another instance of political targeting. The unreasonable requests to have thousands, over 100,000 of recertification interviews for SNAP enrolled households and other processes that quite frankly are impossible within the time period requested by the government, and overly burdensome and unnecessary, is again just heartless and inconsistent with the law. And so that is why we've gone into to court and obtained a temporary restraining order against the federal government.
We're coming to the end of our time together. How do you decide which battles to take up, which fights to pick, which lawsuits to file?
First off, we don't pick we don't file a single lawsuit because of partisan differences, because it's it's a huge undertaking to say that you're going to sue the federal government. We're accustomed to working with the federal government as a governmental power. However, if our state is harmed and the citizens of our state are harmed, it's incumbent on us to take action if we have standing, and there's a situation where there's ripeness, where we've harm is either taken place or is imminent, to prevent our the citizens of the state and the state at large from being harmed. Our Constitution, our United States Constitution and federal law is being violated over and over and over again. There's a common thread within many of these cases where there's a ignoring of the separation of powers, the ignoring of Congress's power of the purse, ignoring of st the state's rights. And so we make our decisions based on whether there is a harm, whether we have standing, and whether there's ripeness. It's challenging for us. There's been 51 lawsuits to date that we've been involved in. It stretches our staff, creates a lot of stress upon our lawyers. However, they have all signed up to advocate for the public interest. And these are serious matters. These are serious threats to the American people at large. We band together as states to do this. And what's interesting is many of our battles have impacted changing policy in a manner that benefits states that are represented by Republican state attorneys general who have not taken action. But that's okay because our fight is not for what letter you have by your name, whether it's a D, R, or an I. It's for all of the American people, whether it's tariffs that impact farmers and other small business owners, whether it's the National Institute of Health grants that impact research for cancer, cures for cancer, and cures and treatment for cancer and Alzheimer's and other ailments. That impacts you whether or not you're Republican, Democrat, or independent. And it's our duty to take on these fights for all of the American people.
Attorney General Kwame Raoul, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
More to come after a break. This is the 21st Show.